You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
It seems like nowadays everybody wants to do something big. In fact, in Christian circles, everybody wants to do something big, something significant, something that'll impact the world. Go overseas to distant lands where the need is so obvious. Become famous and sing or preach to thousands in great auditoriums and see the crowds flock. Everybody wants to do something great, something big, so dramatic it can't help but be noticed. But what I've noticed as a pastor is that very few people are willing to do something small for God. Very few people are willing to just believe God and do the little thing that he asked for. I want to do something bigger. Very few people are willing to discipline themselves to fast and pray and seek God for missionaries. Expand the kingdom of God or bless the people of the church where nobody's watching. Very few people are willing to do the small thing of working with or mentoring young children or caring for the older people, ministering to them or leading a small group. Very few people are willing to do the simple thing, the small thing God asks, and set aside one day a week as Sabbath and seek God every Sabbath and faithful in attendance and worship in church every week. Oh, I want to do something big, but often not willing to do the small thing. I've noticed very few people are willing, in fact, statistically in America, the people who claim to know Jesus Christ, less than 3% are willing to do the small thing of giving 10% of their income first to the local church before giving anywhere else, according to the Bible's instructions. Very few people are willing to do the little things God asks. And yet, as we look in the scripture and as we look at the history of the church, as I look in the history of my own life, I can tell you I'm thankful for a small church that I grew up in. I'm thankful that there were Sunday school teachers who were there every single week mentoring and coaching me when there were only two or three kids in that class. I am thankful for a church that saw something in me and let me participate at the age of 12. I am thankful that somebody got it. Somebody understood that God does great things when we're willing to do the little thing he asks us to do. Amen. Little is much when God is in it. Are you willing to do the little things for God? That's what I want to know this morning. Little is much when God is in it. And when is God in it? Well, God is in it when we act in simple faith on the specific instructions that he gives us in the Bible. When you and I are willing to take the Bible for what it says and begin to put into practice in simple, obedient trust, we begin to find that God does great things through those little acts of obedience. That's what Moses discovered. Moses, who after trying to do it in his own strength, wanting to do something big, tried to do it in his own timing, in his own effort, and he made a mess of it and ended up spending 40 years in the desert. And God found him there, and God said, Moses, now it's my turn. If you'll do something small, if you'll obey me, do what I ask, I'll do something great. Moses argued with God. He said, I can't. I don't speak good. I don't have enough. Who am I? They won't believe me. And God said, listen, if you'll just trust me and do the little things I act, I'll be with you, and I will do something great. And when Moses finally obeyed God, when he finally did what God asked him to do, when he finally marched into the king of Egypt and simply said, let my people go, God did something miraculous and tremendous and began to bring about a huge change in history because somebody was willing to do what God asked him to do in simple trust. How about Gideon, huh? Oh, Gideon, I love Gideon. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Gideon's hiding in a wine press because he's afraid of the enemy. He is skeptical. He's not sure God even loves Israel anymore. And yet God shows up to Gideon and says, listen, I know there's a great army that's coming against you and constantly taking. He says, but listen, I'm going to use you. You're going to be a mighty warrior. Gideon says, who, me? You got the wrong guy. And yet when Gideon was willing to listen to God's instructions, even when those instructions made no sense whatsoever, Gideon finally begins to respond to God, and a great army shows up. He's got 33,000 warriors to fight an army that's multiple times that, thousands upon thousands of Midianites. And Gideon's got 33,000, and God says, no, that won't work, Gideon. You need to get down to 300. How many of you know that makes no sense whatsoever? But when Gideon followed the word of God, when Gideon in simple faith put into practice what God asked him to do, God asked him to fight that army, not with swords. He said, listen, here's the battle gear. We need lanterns, we need trumpets, and we need shouts of glory. And Gideon takes 300 people, you know the story. And Gideon defeats a mass army of thousands upon thousands. Why? Because Gideon was willing to do the little thing God asked him to do it in the little way God asked him to do it. Gideon didn't fear for himself. He believed that God was able to do big things through the little thing as he trusted in the word of the Lord. Amen. And how about Joshua? What are we going to do about this big old city? What are we going to do about Jericho and all these great big walls, this impregnable fortress? Oh, here's what you do. Joshua, you're going to defeat it. Here's what you do. Here's the plan. Circle it, march around it for 7 days, and don't say a word. And on the seventh day, march around it 7 times. Don't say a word. And then shout on the 7th time. Really? Really? God, this is your plan? What? No tanks, no Air Force, no bombs, no siege ramp. What? Just march around the city? You've got to be kidding me. What? Just do what the Bible says? You've got to be kidding me. Little as much when God is in it. And when is God in it? God is in it when you and I in simple faith decide to actually believe what he says in the word of God and put it into practice in everyday life and relationships. Little as much when we worship and pray and praise God, when things don't look good and circumstances are down and our feelings are negative. Little as much when we share our faith with people in spite of our fear, in spite of our intimidation, in spite of not having all the answers. We still trust God to share Christ. We still pray. We still do what God asks us to do. Getting involved and committing ourselves to serve God in the local church, to do something small, to something as small as be faithful in worship and faithful with Sabbath and faithful to the word of God. When you and I decide to do something small for God, guess what? God does something great big in and through our lives, because little is much when God's in it. And God's in it when we obey his word. Oh, you're quiet this morning on me. Do I need to dial it down here? Are we? You're awful quiet. I don't know. Little as much when God's in it, when is he in it? God is in it when you and I decide that we will serve the Lord in his will with what we have. We'll stop making excuses. We'll stop saying, I don't have, and we'll start using what we have and being who we are, where God has placed us, little as much when we serve God and his will with what we have and who we are. The question to Moses was this: well, I can't, Lord. I don't know what to do, God. I can't do it. Well, what is that in your hand? What do you got in your hand? Oh, it's just a stick. It's a staff. I picked it up in the wilderness, carved it a few times. It looks good, but it's just a stick. Give it to me, God says, and watch what I can do with what you've got. Believe me, use what you've got to serve my purpose. When David went out to face Goliath, he refused to wear the king's armor. Why? Because that's not who he was. David picked up his sling and a few stones. Why? Because that's who he was. That's what he had. And David went out as who he was with what he had, and he faced the giant. And what did God do? God did great giant things. God gave a giant miracle. God gave a giant promotion to David when he went out. Why? Because David was willing to do the little thing so that God could do the big thing he wanted to do. When everybody else sunk back in fear, not David. No, David said, bless God, I believe in the Lord, and he'll use the little thing that I have. Can I ask you this morning, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What are you using to serve the Lord in his purpose? What are you doing with what you've got? With the time you've got, the understanding that, well, I don't understand it all yet. Neither did Moses. I don't have all of the power. Neither did these guys. I don't have all the resources. What are you doing with what you've got? What's in your hand? How are you serving God today? Little is much when God is in it, and God is always in it when we take what we've got and do our best to serve his will in this generation. Little is much, number three, when we give freely of what we have to the Lord, no matter how small it is or how scary it may be. That's what the little boy with the lunch found out. It's what the disciples discovered. Crowd of 5,000 men, not to mention all the ladies and the kids running around, crowd of 10 to 20,000 people, and the disciples say, Jesus, send them away. They're hungry. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. What? We don't have enough. We don't have enough. We don't have enough. We don't have enough. I don't have enough. That's the cry of unbelief. I don't have enough. I can't serve, Pastor. I don't have enough. I can't do it. I don't have enough. I can't give. I don't have enough. I can't be a person. I don't have enough. I can't pray. I don't have enough. It's the cry of unbelief. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. Don't ask me. I don't have enough. And Jesus says, no. How much do you have? What do you have? What can you give? Oh, here's two little loaves and five fish. Jesus says, that's enough. Give it to me and watch what I can do with it. Give me the two little loaves you've got. Let me show you what I can do with what you've got. If you'll give it freely, if you'll give it to me and let me, I'll take it, I'll miraculously bless it, I'll make it more than it is, I'll give you back more than you gave me, but you gotta be willing to trust me and give freely to me what you've got. Instead of hanging on to it for yourself, you try to hang on to it for yourself, you'll never have enough. Because faith always gives to a God who's greater than us, and he is the God of all provision and power, who takes our little and makes it more than enough and brings it right back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, because that's who God is. We gotta start believing God, stop making excuses, and get up and do something with what we've got. Give God our time, give him our energy, give him what we've got so that he can do something with it. Hallelujah. That's good preaching right there. Come on. Well, what about that widow? Can you believe the gall of that prophet? The gall of Elijah to go to a widow in the middle of a famine. She's got one meal left. And God challenged that woman to give to God first. First, before she ate. Give it to God first, the prophet says, because he is the representation of God to that woman, who God has already been working in her heart. He said, if you'll give it first. And that woman, who was not an Israelite, believed God, and she made a meal and fed that prophet and then fed her son and herself. And God took that oil and that meal, and he miraculously reproduced it day after day after day until the famine no longer was there. They could take care of themselves. God miraculously multiplied. Because little is much when God is in it. And when is God in it? God is in it when we obey His word. God is in it when you and I serve His will with what we've got. He's in it when we give freely to Him first, when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, when He is our priority, when we listen, oh, Pastor, surely you don't expect me to give the first 10% of my income to the Lord. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. It's a cry of unbelief. I don't have enough. How could I possibly give God first? Pastor, you surely don't expect me to give 10% to the church first? Well, actually, yes, I do. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my salary. It's not going to increase me one bit. It's going to increase you. You're going to see God do something miraculous in your life. Because He has promised that for every person who will give freely to Him, He will give more than we ever give to us. He will care for us. He is our shepherd. He has us in His mind and in His heart. He will multiply and give it back in greater measure. It makes no sense in our minds. It makes no sense on paper. It will not compute. You get your calculator. It's not going to work out, I'll tell you right now. But bless God when God is in it. Little as much when God is in it. And when I obey His word, when I serve Him what I've got, when I give freely of what I have, I begin to see God do mighty great things in and through my life, because God is not tied to a number. Yes. Listen to that. God's not tied to a number. God doesn't need 33,000. He can do it through 300. God doesn't need a great crowd. He can do it through one. God's not tied to a number. God is tied to people of faith. Where does God dwell? He dwells in a high and holy place, and He dwells with that one who in simple, humble faith will believe Him and pour their heart out to Him. Our mighty God is a God who meets us right where we are when we decide to believe Him. Oh, little as much when God's in it. Number four, He's in it when you and I decide to act on the leading of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That's what Philip discovered in Acts chapter 8, preaching a great revival. Lots and lots of people responding. Oh, it was great. It was big. And the Holy Spirit said, Philip, I want you to leave this big thing, this great success. I want you to go out in the desert and talk to one guy in a chariot. Are you kidding me? What? Come on, Holy Spirit, look around. Look at this great crowd. Surely you don't want me to go out. Some guy in the middle of the desert. And yet when Philip listened to the leading of the Holy Spirit and he went out in the desert, what did he find? He found the chief treasurer of the country, the nation of Ethiopia, and he began to teach him the scriptures. He was reading, trying to understand, and God used Philip to share the gospel, and that Ethiopian, that man who was the chief treasurer of that nation, gave his life to Jesus, and God only knows what happened when he went back to that nation. Only God knows the opportunities. Only God knows the impact. Why? Because Philip was willing to do the little thing to leave the big splash where everybody's applauding and saying hallelujah. He's willing to go out and do the small thing for God. And when he did the small thing for God, God did something great through him. Are you willing to do something little for God this morning? That's what I want to know. I know you want to do something great. Are you willing to do something little? Are you willing to do the small thing? If you'll follow the leading of the Spirit, you'll be amazed. That's Ananias was amazed. Ananias in Acts chapter 9. Minding his own business. He's not a deacon. He's not an apostle. He's not a leader in the church. He's just a plain old businessman trying to make a living as a Christian. And the Holy Spirit says, Ananias, I want you to go and pray for a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias says, what? You must be kidding me. I had too much pizza last night for dinner. I know it. Are you speaking to me? Go pray for Saul of Tarsus. His response is in Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Ananias said, I've heard many reports about this man, all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority. He's going to arrest all who call on your name. I can't go pray for him, God. You've got something mixed up here. And the Lord said, go. For some of you today, he's saying, go. Give. Serve. Take the step. And you keep saying, but I don't have enough. But what if it doesn't work? But I'm a nobody. But I don't know how to pray. But I don't know what to do. But, oh, God keeps saying, go. And I'll be with you. This is my chosen instrument, he said to Ananias. And when Ananias finally did the little thing God asked him to do, and he went and prayed for Saul of Tarsus, God took Saul of Tarsus, he anointed him, he healed him, he raised him up to be the great apostle Paul, who's much of the Bible that we read today, the great apostle, and all the churches and all the impact that he had. Why? Because Ananias was willing to do the little thing. God did something great through his little obedience. Come on. Little as much when God is in it, and when is God in it? God is always in it when we obey his word. He's always in it when we serve his purpose with what we've got. He's always in it when we give freely of what we've got. He's always in it when we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, even when it scares the living daylights out of us. He's always in it and does something great, and I'm wrapping up, hallelujah. Number five, he's always in it when you and I refuse to compromise with the pressure of the world and live holy, morally pure lives. Little as much when God's in it, and he's in it when we do that. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found out in the book of Daniel. They discovered that when pressured to bow to the false god of their day, they refused to bow to the idol of gold like everybody else did. They said, we don't care being politically incorrect. We don't care that everybody else is doing it. We're willing to sacrifice our lives. We'll put our lives on the line. We refuse to give in to the cultural pressure of being politically correct and pleasing people. We're going to do what we know our God wants us to do. Their response to the pressure to bow is found in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. We don't have to defend ourselves before you, O king, in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the image of gold that you have set up. And what was the result that they experienced? They were thrown into the fire. Yeah, they were thrown into the fire. But Jesus met them in the fire. And Jesus wrapped his protective presence around them. And Jesus covered them in the middle of the fire. And Jesus kept them from even getting a little singe mark anywhere. Jesus turned the air conditioner on. They didn't even feel the heat because Jesus was with them in the fire. And what happened? They were brought out of the fire. They got great promotions, promoted, and the name of God was glorified. Why? Because they refused to compromise with the pressure of the world. And they said, we're going to live for God, and we don't care what you do to us. We're going to stand on the word of God and believe what God has for us. And God did great things in their life. How about Daniel himself? When he was told he could no longer pray publicly, what did Daniel do? He said, okay. He went right back to his normal habit, went up to his room, threw open the windows of heaven, and began to pray up a storm. And everybody heard him. Why? Because Daniel refused to bow to the pressure of political correctness and what everybody else said was right or wrong. Daniel was willing to do what God wanted. He's willing to give his life for the Lord. And what happened? They threw him to the lions. But Jesus met him in the lion den. Jesus turned those lions into a bunch of little kitty cats. And Daniel snuggled up next to one of them, used him as a pillow, and he went to sleep. And those lions are just snoring and just purring. And then the next morning, they lift him out of there, throw in those people who were his enemies and put him there. And they didn't even hit the ground before those lions tore them apart. You see, little is much when God is in it. Listen to me. Little is much when God is in it. God can do great things through your life if you don't care who gets the credit. I want to say that again. God can do great things through you if you don't care whether or not you get the credit. If you don't care if you get a thank you or not. If you don't care if they tell you how wonderful you are. If you'll just serve God. If you'll serve him for his pleasure or not. God can do great things for you if you'll just give him what you've got. Serve him where you are. Bless God. Believe his word. Get off your doofus. Get off your excuses and begin to give God everything you are. God can do great things through the little things you're willing to do. Are you willing to do something small for God today? That's what I want to know. I'm looking for a church who'll do something little. Because when we do these little things, God raises up great results and does a mighty work if we're willing to do it. Hallelujah. I know you want to do something that makes a difference. So do I. We all do. But what I see in the Word of God, what I see as I look back at my own life, if I will just be willing to do the little thing, God does so many incredible, great things. Things I didn't dream. I grew up in this boot heel of Missouri. I didn't dream of a church in New Jersey of over 600 people, mixed races from all over the world, 13 nationalities. I never dreamed that. I didn't have the ability to dream that big at that point in my life. But God does big things if you'll just trust him to do that little thing. And here's my question. I'm quitting. Here's my question. What's that next little thing you need to do? What's the next little thing you've been putting off? For some of you, it's to give your life to Jesus Christ. You've come to church. You've heard the Word of God. Somebody's witnessed to you the truth. The Holy Spirit's been trying to convince you to give your life to Jesus, and you just keep putting it off. Some of you need to trust Christ this morning. Some of you this morning need to be willing to step in and serve. Give your time. What? Yeah, God is calling you. You know it. He wants you to use your time to help move this church forward, the gifts he's given you, but you want to hang on to it. You're afraid you'll miss something. You're afraid you'll miss out on something. Listen, you never miss out on anything when you give to the Lord. You never miss a thing. He is life. Some of you need to take life track. You keep saying, yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Some of you need to stop saying, yeah, I'm going to do it, and bless the Lord, do it. Some of you need to carve out time in your schedule. Stop saying, I'm gonna, and start praying. Start spending time in the Word of God. Stop making excuses. Some of you need to start giving and believing God in the area of your finances and disciplining yourself not to spend more than you ought to spend. Some of you need to start sharing your faith. You've got more Bible knowledge in your head than I do. You know more than I, and you're so afraid to say anything because you don't want somebody to think you're an idiot. Bless God, they're going to think you're an idiot. Get over it. That's good preaching right there. Little as much when God is in it. And God's in it when we obey his word. You take steps to obey, he'll be in it. You take steps to serve him with what you got, he'll be in it. You take steps to give first the kingdom. He'll take care of you. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. His nudging in your heart, he'll take care of you, even if you make a mistake. He'll make that mistake work for good. And God's in it when you decide you're not going to compromise with the world. You're going to live wholly unto the Lord.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.